We begin on campus, where UNC is set to add a historical marker in the pit next week that some residents have been advocating for years. It's a plaque to memorialize James Cates Jr., who was killed on campus in 1970 at the age of 22. And as part of the decision to approve the memorial, the Board of Trustees also voted to update its policy on historical markers, as 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell reports.
This is a minor technical correction to an existing Board of Trustees policy.
Provost Chris Clemens addressed the University Board of Trustees on Thursday at the beginning of its full meeting. He and Trustee Gene Davis made slight updates to the existing policy on naming university facilities and units, with Clemens describing the change as necessary to update with the plans to install the Cates Memorial Plaque.
This would allow memorials and markers for significant historical events, consistent with recent practice. So it's updating the policy to follow recent practice and allowing in the future considerations that we would have for significant historical events markers on campus.
The policy previously had no mention of what practices were needed to install a memorial or marker on campus after a specific event, with the existing wording largely focused on an individual's worthiness for becoming the namesake of a building or facility. Clemens said, though, that these changes now allow the Board of Trustees to be the determining body for any such memorials or markers to be added to campus.
So what you would be judging on in the case of the language that was already there is whether someone's contribution is sustained and substantial. So you've always done that. Now you would be determining on whether a particular event that someone wants to memorialize is significant enough to warrant a memorial.
Since the renaming of several buildings on UNC campus has been a controversial and evolving topic over the last decade, the provost also expressed that the changes approved by the board were unrelated.
This policy does not contemplate naming buildings or other things after historical events. It's only historical markers, so it only applies to memorials in the form of a marker.
Trustee Marty Kotis added a friendly amendment to the approved changes on Thursday to ensure the markers align with the university's values. He urged caution in the future of adding memorials that could later draw attention from groups outside of the campus community, couching it as a potential matter of student safety.
We're not a museum in a lot of ways. We are here to provide the benefits of the university to the people of the state, and I just want to make sure that we stay true to that kind of core educational mission and protecting our students, and not focus on creating various places that could be a problem.
The broader Chapel Hill community, as well as several UNC groups, have pushed for years for a permanent recognition of Cates on campus. On the night of November 21st, 1970, after an interracial dance held near the central gathering place called The Pit, members of a white supremacy motorcycle gang stabbed the 22-year-old Cates during the altercation. Cates bled out and died after the lack of a quick response from campus and local authorities. Prior attempts by UNC students to leave a marker in the pit were taken away by the university. But in August, Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz announced that with the trustees and the Cates family's approval, a permanent memorial would be constructed. UNC will host the public for a memorial dedication to James Cates Jr. at 4 o'clock on Monday, November 21st. The event will be by the Carolina Union and the Pit, with community members invited to lay flowers at the site throughout the day. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
The UNC community is also reacting this week to a different on-campus tragedy, this one at the University of Virginia, where three members of the UVA football team were killed by a former teammate. Carolina head football coach Mack Brown addressed that situation at his regular press conference yesterday.
Thoughts and prayers are with everybody in Charlottesville for the tragic news that's come out of there today. Sally and I have a daughter that's a faculty member there, and she texted us early this morning to tell us she was okay. But it's really, really sad when you have to worry about your family members and your children everywhere we go. So we've got to be smarter, and we've got to figure this thing out. We can't keep having useless deaths. So thoughts and prayers are with everybody, family members especially, and that's not the news you want to wake up to every day.
That's UNC head coach Mack Brown speaking there. Turning to other news, last week's midterm election saw a generational shift in Orange County's legislative makeup, a cascade set off by the retirement of longtime Congressman David Price. State Senator Valerie Fouché won her bid to replace Price in the U.S. House. State Representative Greg Meyer stepped up to replace Fouché in the state Senate, and Orange County Commissioner Renee Price will replace Meyer in the state House. Now just one question remains: who will replace Renee Price on the Board of County Commissioners? Speaking on 97.9 The Hill last week, Price discussed the process of choosing her successor.
The six commissioners will appoint someone. There will be an application process. What I need to do next is to provide a letter of resignation, which will go to the board and to the clerk, and then we notify the Democratic Party. Of course, they already know this. And, you know, they will decide whether or not they want to have any input in the selection process. We will probably send out applications with, you know, a number of questions for people to fill out. There'll be a review process. I don't know what the Democratic Party will do, but they did last year when Mark Dorson resigned, the Democratic Party for District 1 kind of gave like a straw vote on the four applicants. Now, in this situation, I'm in District 2, so members of the County Executive Committee in District 2 may be able to have a say in the selection process. But then, in the end result is that the Board of County Commissioners will determine.
That's Renee Price speaking there. Orange County Commissioners meet tonight at 7 in the Witted Building. Commissioners will discuss next steps for the county's new task force on school safety, and they'll receive a report from the Orange County Partnership to End Homelessness. The Carrboro Town Council also meets at 7 in Carrboro Town Hall with an agenda that includes affordable housing and a discussion of whether to apply for federal transportation funds. Visit our website, chapelboro.com, to get links to both meeting agendas and also to listen back to the full conversation with Renee Price. To Raleigh now, praise from State Attorney General Josh Stein for a nationwide settlement with Google over how the company tracked users' locations even after users explicitly opted out of location tracking. It's a $391 million settlement involving 40 states. North Carolina's share is about $17.6 million. Back locally, if you're in Chapel Hill this week, watch for crews working on Honeysuckle Road, Booker Creek Road, and Cleland Drive. Staffers will be painting walking lanes on those three roads this week, marking off designated space for pedestrians. Once they're done, drivers and pedestrians alike should treat those walking lanes just like sidewalks. And finally, one more piece of news from campus. Yet another UNC building has been added to the list of locations with positive tests for lead contamination in sinks and drinking fountains. Haynes Hall is the latest, and that brings the total number of affected buildings up to 44. You can get the updated list, again, on our website, chapelboro.com. 6:18, your time. Moving right along to sports now. Brought to this hour by Olmaz Jewelers. Tar Heel men's soccer has earned a spot in the NCAA tournament for the 14th time in the last 15 years. UNC will host High Point in the first round this Thursday. The winner will move on to face 5-seed Stanford in California on Sunday. UNC women's soccer is already through to the second round. They'll host Georgia in round two. That game will also be on Thursday. Carolina just unveiled its recruiting class for next season. Six new Tar Heels, all of them ranked among the nation's top 24 in their class. Overall, Top Drawer Soccer ranks UNC's 2023 recruits as the number one class in the nation. We'll have to wait until Thursday for the Tar Heel men's and women's soccer teams to take the pitch. Top-ranked UNC men's basketball, on the other hand, is set to hit the court tonight, hosting Gardner-Webb at 8 p.m. We'll have that game for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, starting at 6:30 with Countdown to Tip-Off. UNC women's basketball also back in action tomorrow morning at 11, a midday game hosting South Carolina State. The Tar Heels are down one spot to number 13 in this week's AP poll. Still undefeated, but they got leapfrogged by Ohio State after the Buckeyes upset Tennessee. And finally, in hockey, a shutout win for the Carolina Hurricanes last night, 3-0 over Chicago. The Canes are back home this Thursday, hosting the Avalanche at 7.